Now, we're talking about road safety on horseback. Every week in the UK, more than 60 road incidents involving horses are reported. Joining me, two experts to talk about this, and in particular because they recently undertook a five-day riding journey, and it began at a site where a young racehorse was killed by a speeding driver and ended in the main arena at the Royal Windsor Horse Show. Hi, welcome to the programme. Can we ask you to introduce yourselves for the audience, please?
Okay, Alan Hiscox, and I'm the Director of Safety with the British Horse Society.
My name is James Luckhurst, founder of the Project Edward initiative. Edward standing for Every Day Without a Road Death.
Right, so welcome to the programme. First of all, if the roads are so dangerous for horses and riders, why take the risk of a five-day road journey on horseback?
Well, that is a question that I've heard before, and I would say rather than being dangerous, they are can be challenging. But we chose a route all the way from Lambourne to Windsor, which is roads that are used by horses all the time. So obviously in Lambourne, you had race horses that are using the roads all the time, where that horse Knockella was tragically killed in October. And then all the way through to Windsor, there's stables everywhere along the route. So we were just experiencing what local horse riders experience every day. So we weren't selecting roads that were particularly challenging, but ones that are used every day by either local horse riders or carriage drivers.
Yeah. And what I would just add is that the riders don't want to ride on the road. They're just using the road to get from stable to their gallops or to the fields or the woods. When I first learnt to ride 40 years ago in North Herefordshire, it was just one road I had to cross. It was a nasty road, but it was, you had to give time and sort of to be sure that there wouldn't be any incidents and to make yourself as visible as possible. And that's still the case today. You know, high vis is so important. So it's not that we want to be on the road, but the vast majority of riders will have to use some of the road some of the time to get to where they want to go.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought in my mind there. Do drivers actually stop and let you come out or cross? I mean, like they would a car?
In my experience, a good few did, but I tried to sort of hold back and not require them to do it, because if someone stops, is the person behind aware of that? So just to minimise the risk of anything going wrong, my strategy was always to sort of hold back and just wait till I could see and hear that the road was completely clear.
What a driver's general response.
From the last 5 days of riding that we did, 95% of them were really positive. It was great. We had some very nice encounters. Parents in the front, kids in the back, big thumbs up, smile. They love to see the horses. Otherwise, it was just, we took a big responsibility to be sure that we were courteous and say thank you to everyone. And that was, raising a hand to say thank you. That might have been sort of every couple of seconds throughout the day. And what we also did was just keep ensure that a queue didn't build up behind us. There were always little places that we could pull into, so we did that to ensure that we weren't causing any trouble. But the drivers that we encountered, were 95% of them were very positive. One even stopped and just wound down the window and said, "Look, I've heard what you're doing. You must be the folks on that Windsor ride. I've found out so much. I didn't know I had to be 10 miles an hour and 2 meters wide to go past you, but I do now, and I'm telling all my mates." So that was a good result.
Is that widely understood? That's a new 2022 highway code, isn't it? So just to clarify that cars have to go past at only 10 miles per hour and at least 2 meters space. That actually doesn't seem enough to me, but...
It isn't law, it's no. It's advice. But unfortunately, we've found that very few drivers know about the highway code changes specific to equestrians. We do some major motoring events at Carfest, Goodwood and Silverstone, and even some really big events like RAF Cosford will be there on in a couple of weeks' time. And where we're talking to all these drivers, there sometimes thousands of drivers, and we ask them, "Are you aware of the highway code changes specific to equestrians?" We find that maybe as little as 5% of drivers know about these. Pre-2022, it was pass horses wide and slow. Well, that was open to interpretation. One driver might think wide and slow is different to another one. So now these changes that came in are quite significant. You know, if I see a horse on the road, then I will slow down to a maximum of 10 miles an hour. I won't sound my horn or rev my engine. When safe to do so, I'll pass slow and wide at least 2 meters distance, and I'll drive slowly away. But there's also another change in the highway code that actually specifies if you cannot make that distance on a small rural road, then just hold back, because a lot of these incidents that have been reported to us are where vehicles have tried to squeeze past. In fact, tragically, you know, a horse was killed in Leicestershire a couple of weeks ago where a vehicle was trying to squeeze past, and there are others as well. So there's a very there's a lot of elements to the highway code that include equestrians, that's both ridden horses and carriage drivers, that are significant and will ensure the safety of horses on the roads.
And they make a lot of mistakes. I mean, generally, I guess, road users. Can you explain the hierarchy of the road users and where horses and riders fit into that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it makes sense. It was, you know, a significant addition to the Highway Code. And what it says is those road users most at risk in the event of a collision are at the top of the hierarchy. So you cannot argue that pedestrians and children and people with disability are at the top of the hierarchy, because they are most likely to be injured in the event of a collision. And then below the pedestrians and the children, there are horse riders, cyclists and motorcycles. And those in charge of vehicles that can cause the greatest harm in the event of a collision bear the greatest responsibility to take care and reduce the danger they pose to others. So quite simply, car drivers and HGV drivers and coach drivers, you know, they have the greatest responsibility to take care and reduce the danger they pose to others. And then right at the top are, as I said, the pedestrians, people with disability and children, and then the horse riders are underneath. It actually makes total sense.
Tell us about how drivers should interpret the body language of the horse and the signals from the rider.
We think it's really important that the riders get those signals right and they are clear and not open to interpretation. So a nice, clear arm signal to slow down or even to stop, then it's simple. So there's no requirement for a driver to do too much kind of in terms of interpretation. But you know, we can all use our common sense as drivers just to see the whole picture in front of us. If there is a horse that's looking a little bit nervous, that looks unsettled, you know, just slow down, hold back a little bit. But there might be things that have upset the horse that we as drivers won't be aware of. Perhaps something just over the other side of the hedge, tiny little things. I mean, when I was on one of the days of the ride, I changed to a different horse, and that horse reacted to anything that had a little bit of white paint round it on the road. So a little circular white bit where there was a repair required. And even a lid of a coffee cup that had been discarded on the side of the road caused no end of trouble. And then one of those mirrors that help you get out of a concealed turning. The poor horse looked to the left and saw his reflection in the mirror. And that caused some trouble as well. So all of these things can happen. The point of view from a driver's perspective, you are assessing the risk as you drive along on the road. We all need to do it. And just to see the bigger picture, how is the horse reacting and how does that fit into the wider perspective? What can I do as a driver just to ensure that the risk is reduced during the time that we are close to each other?
Okay. And as James has said, the eyesight of a horse, they are flight animals and they have binocular sight and they see things that we don't see. And if they see a risk, they're either going to remove that risk by kicking it, reduce it by moving quickly to one side, or avoid it by turning around the other way. Another thing that is really a significant, and this is in the highway code as well, is there's three brains working. There's the driver's brain, there's the rider's brain, but don't forget the horse's brain. And that obviously works differently to ours. And if drivers understand that that horse's brain is working and seeing things and hearing things and reacting things slightly different to ours, well, a lot different to ours, then if you just take that 2 meters distance and that 10 miles an hour, it's going to make it much, much safer for the horse rider, and of course the occupants in the car.
And just to mention the BHS Dead Slow campaign.
We think it's had a significant effect in raising awareness. You know, we're working with stakeholders like Project Edwards, the police, road safety partnerships, local authorities to try and get that change in behaviour and the awareness for drivers. And also, you know, a Dead Slow campaign is also working with riders. It is, no pun intended, it is a two-way street. You know, we can't keep pointing the finger at drivers and saying it's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault. Riders have to take responsibilities as well, and there are certain aspects to the highway code that are for horse riders as well. So I would suggest that horse riders have a look at those sections as well, because it's mutual respect between the horse rider and the driver, and when you haven't got that mutual respect, that's when you've got trouble.
Okay, and what about if you're involved in an accident? What's the position there?
If you are on the road and involved in any kind of collision, then you have to stop. You may need to call the police, depending on the severity of the incident. If you've purely observed something that concerns you, or that you can tell where something has gone wrong, you can stop and help and give your details. One thing these days more and more people have is a dash cam. So you may have dash cam that will have recorded an incident, and that would be particularly helpful if the police then need to investigate, that they can examine the dash cam, view the footage and get a more accurate picture of what has happened.
And tell us about insurance.
Well, the British Horse Society has gold membership, and that has insurance with the membership. So I would advise any horse rider to have a look at the British Horse Society Gold Membership. It is got £30 million public liability. And, you know, it just makes sense that when you go out on the roads on a horse that you are significantly covered with insurance.
Right. And where do people in Broadstairs or in Kent or beyond go for more information?
Yeah, just come on to the British Horse Society website, that's bhs.org.uk, and we've got many, many pages for advice for riders and drivers under our Dead Slow banner.
Right, thank you very much for joining us, gentlemen.
Thank you very much, Phil.
Thank you, Phil.